Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Well, it's my joy to be with you this evening, and I believe God's already starting up, showing himself mighty and strong. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me the opportunity to be here. Praise God. And we just believe God has great things. Amen. Now, we're not shutting down the move of the Spirit. We're just pausing for a moment to add a little bit of food to the fire. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But Bonnie and I are excited to be here. We're excited to be a part of what God is doing here. Amen. Hallelujah. I just believe God has great and mighty things for Anchor Faith Church in 2020. Amen. Somebody says, for the church, that's you. Hallelujah. Amen. This is just the building the church meets in. Amen. This building is sanctified because we're here. Are you listening to me? Because you and I are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we brought him in with us, praise God. And you know what's great? If you can get that revelation on the inside of you, you'll take him home with you tonight. Amen. He'll walk through your house with you. He'll give you a great night's sleep, wake you up in the morning, strengthen you, and set you off to be a light shining into a dark world. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we can sanctify the place that we're at. You know that Joseph never was the boss of any place he was at? He never was the owner. Amen. When he was working for Potiphar, he was just, you know, he was just somebody that was managing his stuff. But you know what? He walked in there and released the power of God in that place, sanctified, and God blessed the whole place because he was there. Amen. Everywhere he went, every situation he was in, he was not the main one. He wasn't the boss. He wasn't the head. He wasn't head over the prison. He wasn't the Pharaoh. But everywhere he went, he just walked and walked. When he walked in, he brought God with him. Amen. You don't have to be the boss to be, make that place blessed. Hallelujah. You don't have to own it to see God prosper. And you can see a move of God take place, and God will prosper you and promote you and bless you because you're letting him use you and sanctify the place through you. Amen. So we need to walk in that and see that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, that's not necessarily my message, but it's a good message, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. Listen, let's look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to look in verse 12. We'll just teach for a little bit, and then we want to just move right back in because I want to touch on receiving a fresh anointing. And God's already demonstrating that and moving that tonight. Amen. But as I was praying this afternoon a little bit, we were just hearing, I just kept hearing the Lord say, I want the people's faith to receive a fresh anointing. Amen. See, a lot of times we don't need more faith. We just need the faith we have refreshed. Everybody said, boy, if I just had more faith. No, if you had faith that was alive and excited and fired up, then you would have enough faith. Because the Bible says, if you have a faith as a seed of mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain. That means, you know, you don't have to have this great big measure of faith. But what you have to do is have a living faith that will work when you plant it. That mustard seed is alive. It looks small, but it's alive. And the life in that mustard seed has the ability to produce great things. Amen. And so the enemy may be saying to you, your faith is small. But you know what? If your faith is alive with the power of God's word and the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, it don't matter because you can plant that little bit of faith in that situation and it'll take over, praise God. And God can bless you, praise the Lord. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul writing here says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you are called, were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now notice here that Paul writing to Timothy, he's told him all these things. He's talked to him about the ministry and about all the structure of the church and right down the line. And then he gets here and he says, now fight the good fight of faith. Then he says, lay hold on eternal life. Now, when we read lay hold on eternal life, a lot of times we get to thinking about heaven, lay hold of heaven, because we think of eternal life as being over in a heaven. But the word eternal life here is Zoe in the Greek, Z-O-E, which means the God kind of life. So really what I believe Paul is saying to Timothy is this, fight the good fight of faith and reach out and grab a hold of the life that God has for you. Amen. Grab a hold of God's life. Don't be content to live in a world life. Live in a God life. Hallelujah. Step over out of the natural, step over into the supernatural, and live above and beyond what you could do in your own self. Amen. And you have to lay hold of it. And notice your confession has something to do with it, because he says, you know, hold fast your confession. And he says that confession has to be before many witnesses. And so what he's talking about there is this. He says, if you're going to lay hold of the life that God has for you, you can't just do it on Sunday morning or Sunday night in a church service. You have to lay hold of it and be that way in front of everybody. Amen. Amen. Are you hearing me? Amen. In other words, I'm going to use my faith on the job tomorrow, just like I'm going to use my faith in this church house tonight. Amen. I'm going to use my faith for the situations that are around me, just like I'm going to use my faith to praise God with. And I'm not going to back off. I'm not going to be one thing with Christians and another thing with sinners. Amen. I'm going to live this life. And that's where the fight of faith comes in, is you not compromising your walk with God in certain situations. Are you hearing me? And you see, here's the thing. Notice that just the implication of fight the good fight of faith, just him saying that tells me that there's probably an opponent out there that's going to try to stop me from having this life and having these things, because if there wasn't an opponent, there wouldn't be a fight. So I must have an enemy that's trying to stop me from having what God said I can have. Now, here's the key. A lot of us, we need to understand who our enemy is, because, you know, I grew up in church, and maybe you did, maybe you haven't, maybe you've been blessed here all your life, praise God. But here's the thing. I grew up where, you know, we were taught that maybe it was God's will to do it, maybe it wasn't God's will to do it. And sometimes you just had to go in and convince God to do something for you. And your fight was with God. Amen. I mean, I grew up thinking that, you know, God is one of the most mixed up people I've ever met. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most uninspired scripture in the Bible. Job had no idea what he was saying and said it in a moment of total desperation and dejection. Amen. In fact, later on in the Bible, God had to come along and correct him. You're talking wrong about me, son. And when Job finally got a revelation of God, he said, oh, my God, forgive me. I didn't know what I was saying, Lord. Oh, my goodness. And God says, okay, fine. I'll turn you captivity now. Amen. But you see, a lot of times we think we're trying to talk God into it. We're fighting with God. I'm going to go in there and wrestle with God, you know, and all this stuff. No. God's not your problem. Amen. He's not the one you're having to fight with. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, the Apostle Peter over there says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, and he tells you who your opponent, your enemy is, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, roams about seeking whom he may devour. Amen. So who's my adversary? Who's fighting with me? Who's trying to stop me from having the life that God wants me to have? It's the devil as a roaring. He's not a lion. He imitates the lion by roaring. What's the lion doing when he roars? He's trying to put fear in his prey. And so the enemy comes roaring about how he's going to take you down, roaring. And if you start listening to him, he'll inspire fear in you. And fear is the opposite of faith. And therefore, you start getting defeated because of the roar, not because he's got the ability to defeat you, but you let him talk you into defeat. Because he talks you out of faith and talks you over into fear. But what does the Apostle Peter go on to say? He says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Oh, come on. Did you hear me? In other words, use your faith to fight against the lies and the roar and the accusations and all the junk that the devil's trying to bring after you. And he says this in James 4. He says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. What's that mean? My fight of faith, first of all, is me fighting the lies and the junk the devil's trying to throw at me to get into fear and quit. That's why he says we have to hold fast our confession before whom we have confessed before many witnesses. In other words, don't let the devil put the wrong words in your mouth. Amen. You can't lay hold of the life that God has prepared for you through the cross and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ if you allow the enemy to get you talking fear, defeat, failure, and beat down. Amen. So he says, fight the good fight of faith and hang on. Don't let the enemy realize that the adversary that you're fighting against is the devil. He's the one you're going to stand against. Then also, the second thing you need to find is in Ephesians 6:12, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood or physical bone. Your problem is not that person that's aggravating you.
Right.
Amen. Because my fight is not with other people. Yeah, but you don't know how they treated me. It doesn't matter. They're not your problem. Amen. Now, they can become your problem if you let them. But why do you want to give voice to what they're saying out of your mouth? Amen. I heard Bishop Jake say that one time. Somebody came up and said, they asked him, he said, Bishop, why do you never repeat anything that your enemies say about you? He says, I don't want to let them have voice in my microphone. Amen. You know what he's saying? They're not my problem, so why should I give them the time of the day? I'm not going to fight people. That isn't going to get me the victory. Amen. Well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, who are we fighting against? But against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wicked spirits in heavenly places. What's that? These demon forces of the kingdom of darkness trying to trip us up and stop us from having what God said. So what does he say? We're to put on the whole armor of God, take our stand, and stand successfully against them. Amen.
Yeah.
What's that? That's a fight of faith. How many of you know it takes faith to defeat these things? Amen. Good intentions don't defeat these things. Hoping that they go away don't defeat them. What does that mean? You have to use your faith, stand up, take your stand, lay hold of what God said you can have, and refuse to come off of it. Amen. And if you knock me down, get a good punch in, I'm going to get right back up, smile, and come after you. Hallelujah. Because I refuse to be defeated. Praise God. And I absolutely am not going to quit. Amen? That's not my nature to quit. My nature is to stand strong and walk with God. Amen? But now look over here in Hebrews chapter 12. I do want to turn here. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Let's look at another thing the apostle tells us over here when we're fighting this good fight of faith. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, he begins to talk to us, and he's referring back to chapter 11, the great faith chapter. And you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, which starts off, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then you get down to verse 3, and it says, by faith they obtained a good report. And so he starts talking to you about all these people. And you know what? Every one of these people had struggles. Think about it. Think about all the people listed. Read the 11th chapter and read. They were thrown to lions. I mean, they were attacked by enemies. They were run out of places. I mean, you know, some of them even, you know, gave up their lives and went on to be with Jesus because they just got tired of fooling with it and decided being with the Lord is better than this. And he says they all lived in faith. They all struggled in faith. Abraham used his faith whenever he couldn't get the things done and got victory. Sarah used her faith and got what she was promised of God. And then he talks about all these others and how they rose up. And so the 11th chapter is all about conflict. It's all about standing up against the enemy. It's all about laying hold of the life that God promised you and fighting the good fight of faith and getting what God said you could get. And then he gets in this 12th chapter in verse 1 and he says this, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Who's that cloud of witnesses? All those people that ran the faith race and laid hold of that life and lived their lives for God and refused to come off of what God said they could have.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. See, you got to understand something, church. Whenever you and I are living by faith and trusting God, it's not roses every day. It's not pie in the sky every day. You don't get up every day and little naked angel babies on clouds are floating around you, stroking their harps, singing hallelujah. Amen. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have tests. That's why Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. What's a good fight of faith? It's a fight you win. Amen. I've never been in a good fight that I got beat up in. Hallelujah. Amen. A good fight was the one I was still standing when it was over. Praise God. And so Paul is writing here to us, and now the author here in Hebrews 12, he's saying, now we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. In other words, you've got examples that went before you that had struggles and troubles, but they used their faith and they fought and they believed God and they stood their ground. And now they're in heaven rejoicing because they laid hold of what God had, and they were examples to the world, and they brought the kingdom forth, and they refused to be defeated, and they wouldn't give up, and they wouldn't quit, and they wouldn't back off, and they didn't backslide, and they didn't get defeated. And at the end, they put their foot down on the devil's head and stepped over in the glory, shouting the victory all the way. Hallelujah. And he says, if you're going to model your life, you model your life off of that 11th chapter, not off of somebody out here that gave up because they didn't know any better. So we have to be fighters in this hour. And he says, we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. And then he speaks this to us. Let us, now he's talking to us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance and patience and perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now listen, for consider him. Right. Now notice here, the apostle is writing to us, and he says, now let us run the race. Now it's our turn to be fighters of faith. Now it's our turn to lay hold of what God has for us. Now it's our turn to stand up against the enemy. Now it's our turn. And he says, and to do this, you're going to have to realize that the third enemy you're going to have to fight is you.
That's right.
I'm my worst enemy. Amen. Amen. Come on, the Bible teaches this over in Galatians 5. He says the flesh is warring against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, so you can't do what you're really wanting to do. He says, but I got good news for you. Jesus Christ has already crucified your flesh. And if you'll walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill those fleshly things. And God will give you the victory right through that thing. Amen? Amen. So when we're fighting the good fight of faith, the last enemy that we have to deal with is our flesh. And we have to take a good look at ourselves and say, is what I'm doing, is that ensnaring me? Is that holding me back? Is that a weight in my life? Is that something I need to deal with myself? Because you see, if I don't deal with it now, it may deal with me later. Amen? So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start examining myself, and I'm going to start putting the life of God into myself. I'm going to start taking care of things that are hindrances to me, because see, a weakness that you think isn't any problem today could be the thing that hinders you from getting the victory tomorrow.
Right.
Amen. Then notice he says, let us run the race looking unto Jesus, okay? And then he says this, he says he's the author and finisher of our faith. So that, what's he saying there? Jesus is he's the one who's going to start you in this thing, and he's the one who's going to keep you in this thing. He says, so while you're running this race, if anything gets your eyes off of him, cast it off. If anything is trying to hinder you from getting with him, lay it aside. Don't let anything keep you from keeping your eyes on Jesus and fighting the good fight of faith and laying hold for that which he has for you. Amen? Press through it, praise God. Move through it. And then he says here in verse 3, he says this, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. And look what he says, lest you become weary and discouraged in your own souls or in your own minds. You know what he's saying? He's saying there are times that this fight can get so strong and so hard that you can actually get discouraged in your thoughts and in your mind and in your emotions. Anybody besides me ever been there? You got a little wearied? You ever got there where you started doubting yourself? And all of a sudden your head's going, oh man, I don't know if I can do this. This is awful. I thought sure this would be over by now. It kind of reminds me, you know, I think they only go to 12 rounds now in these championship boxing matches, because 15 was too many, because too many of them were getting permanently disabled fighting those last three rounds. So they shot those down because those guys were so wearied. I heard testimonies of some of the great champions of the heavyweight boxing era, and they would say that when they were hitting those championship rounds, it was just, they were so wearied that their minds were just telling them they couldn't go on, and they would just have to battle through. And after it was over, sometimes they'd spend 2 or 3 days in a hospital just trying to get recovered. And sometimes we're in a battle and we're fighting and the enemy's coming in like a flood, and you have to keep your eyes on Jesus, because you see, you have to look to Jesus. What did Jesus do whenever he started feeling that fatigue in his mind, when he began to feel that weariness, when he began to get discouraged in his mind? What did Jesus do? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the suffering of the moment. In other words, you have to look ahead and see yourself with a victory and begin to let the joy of the Lord become your strength. And instead of concentrating on how bad the moment is, you start concentrating on how great the victory is going to be. Hallelujah. Come on. And you start looking beyond the battle, and you start seeing the victory, and you start seeing the celebration, and you start seeing God coming through, and you start seeing all the fruit that's coming out of this, and you start seeing yourself becoming more than a conqueror, and you start seeing yourself being a victorious believer, and you get what you've been praying for, and you're going to do what God said you can do. And all of a sudden, all those things that are attacking you right now, they don't seem as important anymore, and your mind begins to get refreshed and renewed. And instead of seeing yourself defeated, you see yourself running. Hallelujah. See, he's saying this: when you get into these things, that's when you press into the Lord more. That's when you look to Jesus more. You get your eyes off of the struggle and off of the hurt and off the pain and off the problem and off the lies, and you get them back over on Jesus, and you lock your eyes in on him. You lock your heart in on him. Why? Because he is the one that's going to give you this life. He's the one that paid the price, and he's the author and the finisher. He's the one that's going to start you in this, and he's going to be with you all the way through the finish of this. Are you hearing me? And so when I'm in this race and I'm using my faith and I'm laying out what God wants me to do, instead of letting all the stuff bog me down, bring me into a place of defeat and just, oh God, I'm going to stir myself up. I'm going to look to Jesus, and I'm going to begin to reach out and lay hold. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to check on what I'm saying. Because Paul said, to fight this good fight of faith, I need to maintain a good confession in front of everybody. Amen? Why? Because your confession is like the engine of your car. When that engine is running right, that car has plenty of power to get you down the road. Amen? But you know what happens if that engine, you know, one of the cylinders start messing up, or something goes wrong, or it starts missing and shaking? All of a sudden, you don't know if you're going to get there or not. Okay? Your mouth is the engine of your faith. As long as your mouth is speaking the word and speaking the name of Jesus and declaring the goodness of God and proclaiming what you're believing for, guess what? That's keeping the engine running smooth. Amen. And you know what's going on when that engine's running smooth? The storm's blowing against you. The road's looking bad. It's bumpy. But you know what? You've got confidence because your engine is running smooth and it's going to get me right through this mess. I'm getting to my destination. Amen. I never get too worried about the surroundings. Are you hearing me? Or the conditions. All I want to know is I want to make sure my engine is running good and my car's not going to stall out and I'm not going to get stranded out here on this mess. Amen? So what are we going to do? We're going to fight in this situation. We're going to fight by looking to Jesus and staying with him until he gets us to the victory. Amen? Now, in Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says it like this, and we'll jump down here to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Listen to what he says. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now, here in Hebrews 12:3, he said that not get discouraged in your mind. And now Paul says, don't lose heart. In other words, don't let your spirit man get weakened down till your faith is no longer strong and you're not really believing and you don't see it in your heart anymore. Amen? So he's telling here, you're going to have to protect the man on the inside if you want to take victory on the man on the outside. Amen? In other words, your spirit and your soul had to stay strong in the Lord if you want the outward man to walk in victory. Are you hearing me? I'm not going to let my soul get bound up. My mind, my emotions, my thoughts, life is not going to get bound up and defeated with all the junk that's coming against me, all the lies and all the struggles. And I'm not going to let the enemy cause me to grow weary in my spirit, in my walk with God. So what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to keep my mind strong and my spirit full of God. Amen? Amen. See, it's up out of my spirit flow the issues of life. Forces of life. Everything that's going to produce good in my life is going to come through the power of God working in my spirit. Amen? So here's what we need to do in this hour. I don't believe you need more faith. What I believe you need to do is have refreshed faith. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? I don't believe you need another mind. I just believe you need to have your mind renewed and refreshed. Amen. Amen. In other words, I just need to get the care off. I need to get the worry out. I need to get the fatigue out of my heart. I need to get myself back where I'm fresh and alive and it's renewed in me. My mind is clear. I can think right and I can see right and I'm talking right and I'm believing right. And down on the inside, there's a fire burning on the inside of me. See, when you started this race that you're running, and what is the race? He said, let us run the race that's set before us. Well, that might be a race to get healing. That might be a race to get some need met in your life. Every one of us is using our faith for something. And Paul says, it's just like running a race. That's what these people were doing. They were running the race of life. And they would come up against a problem, and they would use their faith and overcome that problem, keep their eyes on God, and walk right through that thing. Amen. And he's saying in life, as you're running your race of life, you're going to come up against things. And you're going to have to sometimes just make up your mind. All right, Mr. Devil, you want to fight? We're going to fight. Amen. Yeah. There are going to be times that you're going to have to stop and say, mind, you ain't thinking like that anymore. And if you want to fight, we'll fight right now. I'm going to cast down every vain imagination that's trying to exalt itself. And mine, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to concentrate on Jesus. We're going to think on Jesus. We're turning the TV off. We're turning off all social media. And we're opening up the Bible. And we're getting ourselves renewed. And we're going to think Jesus thoughts. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? And there are going to have to be times that you're going to have to look down on the inside of you and say, how did I get so empty? Spirit man, you are not going to live this way. You're going to sit there and you're going to look at yourself, wait a minute. When was the last time I heard myself talking in tongues? We're not going to play this game anymore. Because you see, if I'm weak in my spirit, then I don't have the strength to release the faith out of my life. And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get control of my spirit, man. And I'm going to start getting filled up again with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you see, that's where a lot of us are right now. We just need to make up our mind. And you see, you really have to start in your spirit, because when Paul wrote to Timothy, he said this, that you're to sanctify yourself, spirit, soul, and body. Notice he started on the inside and worked his way to the outside. A lot of us are trying to work on the outside to the end. Well, you know what? If I just clean up and look better, I'll feel better for about 5 minutes. And then the same old sinking thinking comes up and you start thinking bad and it don't matter, and then you go in and rough your hair up again. Unbutton the shirt. And go sit down, turn on the TV, and space out again. Come on. Amen. And start thinking the same old stinking thinking you was before. Yeah. On, and you're not speaking any faith, because there is no strength in your spirit, man. So instead of me trying to start by looking better on the outside so I feel better on the inside, why don't I start on the inside, start feeling better on the inside, start thinking better upstairs, and then start acting right on the outside. Amen? Now I'm in the right position to fight the good fight of faith and have the thing that God said I can have. Now I'm fighting it from the spirit and not the natural. Now I'm walking in faith and not in fear. Now I'm doing what God said to do and not what the flesh of the world is saying to do. Amen? So how do we do that? I'm glad you asked. Look over in John chapter 7. Hallelujah. Amen. John, the 7th chapter, the Lord Jesus gives us some instruction on how to stay refreshed and keep our faith alive so that we can fight the good fight of faith. In John chapter 7, in verse 37, the Lord Jesus is teaching. And he's ministering to the people. And he says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, so he's talking to believers, out of his heart, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. We sing about the river flowing. He says, you got to come to me and drink. He says, there are times that you need to realize you're thirsty. Are you hearing me? And you see, this is the thing that we've got to come to in America. We're trying to fix all the problems without realizing the problem is not that we need to go out and do something else. The problem is we need to get our thirst quenched. We're running dry. We're dehydrated spiritually.
That's good.
Are you hearing me? And so we try to come up with another program. We try to come up with another rule. We try to come up with another new phase. But you see, what we need to do is go back into the spirit and say, wait a minute, I realize what is wrong with me. I'm thirsty.
Yeah.
I don't have a river flowing out of me. I've just barely got a trickle. In fact, some of us just have a pond. It's gotten so dry, nothing's run out of that thing for years. And we can't understand why we're not winning our fight of faith. We can't understand what's holding you back. So God says, here's what I want you to do. If you're running this race, he says, start laying aside all those things, all those cares, all those worries. Get your mind back off of the struggle and on Jesus, and then come to me and drink until out of your belly, out of your innermost being, begins to flow rivers of living water. Living water. Flow of God flowing out of you again. And you notice it says, until out of your innermost being, out of your heart, your spirit man, begins to flow rivers of living. See, when you get so full of the Holy Ghost, it's no longer a struggle to speak in tongues and worship God. Because a river's been released. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden the praise starts going and you find yourself, whoa, and you're doing things that you haven't done for a while. Because you see, everything God does starts from the inside and works his way out. Notice Jesus didn't say, you know, go get yourself in shape, go get a membership to a physical place, and then you'll be refreshed. No, he said, if you're thirsty, first thing you got to do, if you're thirsty and you want more of God and your faith isn't where it needs to be, you come and drink and get filled with the Holy Ghost. You get a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. You get it until it's flowing out of you. Somebody asked Brother Hagin one time, well, how do I know if I've been filled and it's flowing out of me? He says, well, the only way I can answer is through the scriptures. And Acts 2:4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. The Spirit of God gave them the utterance. He said, so I guess if you get filled and it starts flowing out, you'll start talking in tongues.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Somebody says, I don't know if I believe that or not. Then stay dry. Amen. Hallelujah. I was preaching back home, and I said, you know, I said something. I was a little stern with them, and I said, listen, I'm not pastor here anymore. I've got love them and leave them ministries. Hallelujah. So I can just say it the way it is. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm saying it because I do love you. See, a lot of times the things that we don't realize we need is the spiritual thing that God wants us to have. And he's telling us, you have to come and want it. Notice he said, if you're thirsty, come and drink. In other words, the Lord's not going to chase you down and pour it on you. He's not going to force you to do this. Some people say, well, you know, Brother Huffman, if I come up there and you lay hands on me, all this stuff might happen. No, 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 we don't force anything on you. It might. But you see, God doesn't just come in and overwhelm you and make you live a certain way. It's the devil that forces himself on people. The Lord invites you. And then he waits on you to invite him back. Are you listening to me? And he'll give you anything that you ask for and invite him into. So if I ask him to fill me with the Holy Spirit, guess what? He'll give me the Holy Spirit because he said, if you earthly fathers know how to give good things to your children, you need to understand your heavenly Father will give you the Holy Ghost if you ask him.
Right.
He'll not give you something wrong. He'll not give you something that's not good for you. He'll give you what you need so you can fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of the life that God has purchased for you through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? So what's the first thing I need to do? I need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody says, well, what happens to me when I get filled with the Holy Ghost? I'm glad you ask again. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5. Quickly, hallelujah, because we're going to minister to everyone. everyone that wants it. And I'm telling you right now, before we get started, when I lay hands on you, my hands are cold because this wind is blowing right down on top of me, okay? So because my hands are cold, that does not mean that they're cold because of their anointed, amen? So you may not feel fire when I lay hands on you here in a little bit. But just because they're cold does not mean that the Holy Ghost ain't gonna flow into you. Amen? Hallelujah. My wife tells me, why are your hands so cold? I said, I don't know. Amen. Somebody said, what are you teaching on? I don't know. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 5. That's what we're teaching on. And listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, and be not drunk, or do not be drunk with wine wherein is dissipation or excess or you know, corruption, but be filled with the Spirit. The Amplified says, but be ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. I like that. Be filled and to the point where the Holy Spirit stimulates you, stirs you, causes an action to take place in you. Amen? See, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, folks, it's not something you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you just become sedated and sit down. The Holy Spirit comes on us to help us fight. The Holy Spirit comes on us to stir us, to strengthen our faith, and help us to stand strong and believe that God will do for us what He said He would do. Amen? And I'm going to tell you something. If we're going to do in 2020 what God wants us to do, we're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. And to fight the good fight of faith, we're going to have the Holy Spirit empowering us to get what God wants us to get. Amen? What happens when I get filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of God begins to flow out of me? He says in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Boy, that sure sounds better than singing doom, gloom, and despair and agony on me. Amen? Huh? No, you know what he says? When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, he'll put a song of joy, a song of victory in your mouth. And instead of running right here talking defeat, you'll begin praising God. Amen. Then look what else he says here. He says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what happens when I get filled with the Holy Ghost? I get a different attitude about life. Instead of being critical and wondering why everything's getting so bad, I wake up with a thankful heart. I wake up with happiness and gladness, and I've got an attitude of gratitude through God. Why? Because I'm full of the Holy Ghost, not full of the world. I'm not full of fatigue. I'm not full of weariness. I'm not full of what's going on. I'm filled up with the power of the God, and the Holy Ghost is helping me, and I've got a song of joy, a song of praise. I've got a confession of victory, and I've got an attitude of gratitude, and I'm full of God's joy, and I'm ready to face today with victory in my life. Amen? And then he says, submitting yourselves to one another in the reverential fear of God. You know what he's talking about? All of a sudden, you know what? I get along with people.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen. See, that's one of the ways you can tell whether you're not your thirst or not. Do you constantly get aggravated with people and can't get along with them? Maybe they're not the problem as much as you are dry and need a fresh drink of the Holy Ghost, so you can submit yourself and have a good attitude and work with them. Amen? Huh? So what are we going to do in 2020? We're going to fight the good fight of faith. And we're going to get what God said we can get. And we're going to get full of the Holy Ghost, and we're going to start it off in this service. It already began. You already felt a fresh anointing flowing in here tonight. And a spirit of refreshing flowing down upon us. And now the Lord is speaking to each one of us, and he's saying, listen, I've got a great race for you to run this year. I've got great things for you to accomplish this year, but you're going to have to use your faith to get it. And your faith is going to have some fight in it, because the enemy's not just going to roll over and play dead just because you've set yourself to believe God. Amen? But he's saying this, if you'll fight the good fight of faith, and if you'll lay hold on it and get your confession working for you and get your heart full of the Holy Ghost and get your mind set free from the cares and the worries and get to the place where you have an attitude of thanksgiving and praise and you've got a song of victory in your heart and you're walking around believing God that he's greater than your situation, then all of a sudden you'll begin to turn your situation around and see God's hand move in your life, because God will move over a million people to do something for a person in faith. Are you listening to me? His eyes are running to and fro about the earth looking for those whose hearts are perfect towards him and strong towards him. And so I get up in the morning and say, God, you don't have to look any farther. Amen. Here I am. Show yourself strong in behalf of me today. Hallelujah. And just get full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now and praise you for this word and for the anointing. Lord, I thank you that we are kingdom warriors. Lord, we are here tonight, and we have set ourselves, Lord God, to stand strong, to enter into battle with the armor of God on, filled with the Holy Ghost, full of the Word, with the Word in our mouth and the Word in our mind, the Word in our heart, and the Spirit of God empowering us to speak even when it looks like it's not working. Lord, even when it looks like the enemy is overwhelming us, we thank you, Lord God, that we lay hold of that life that you have for us. We refuse to have a lesser life. We choose to have the life that is ours in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I come against every lie of the devil right now in Jesus' name. I bind every lie that would hinder this people from receiving tonight in Jesus' name. And Lord, I loose this truth, and I receive you, Lord, working your truth in us and with us and through us.